Welcome to Total Engagement, the first Sunday morning edition ever. And of course, what we're talking about today is the incredible news-making, headline-making, industry-shaping, crazy event that just happened, Smackville Live. It wasn't. I mean, what the fuck is Smackville? Well, let me answer that question. Smackville is a live network event special that was thrown together at the last second. And the rumor is that it was thrown together as kind of a test run, a test pilot of opportunities that WWE might have in the future to plan things at the last second. So do they have the infrastructure? Do they have the process? Do they have the protocol in place to put together something quick as a counter-programming measure against AEW or whatever the case may be, probably AEW. So for instance, if they have a TV taping and there's a house show that night, WWE would try to put together a live event special to counteract it. I'm not sure that's really that great an idea. There's enough wrestling on for WWE unless they find some way to differentiate these things, create new stars, give it an NXT-like buzz or NXT-like relevance, or find a way to get us to watch other than saying, oh, WWE's on first. It's probably a terrible idea because the product's already diluted down by being on so much. Now, I'm not one of those people who thinks it's diluted so much with the 5 hours and occasional pay-per-views that it's time to cut back 1,000%. I'm one of those people that thinks that you could work with that. I don't know about the 3 hour Raw, but the rest of it I think you could work with. But adding just a house show now and then that just maybe gives you some matchups you might not normally see, but maybe we need to build to on TV without any thought towards it. I'm not sure how great an idea that is and how it helps the overall product. It smacks to me as a short-sighted approach. And that short-sighted approach is going to hurt them against All Elite Wrestling, because All Elite Wrestling are thinking about everything they're doing. They are trying everything they can think of. They are having meetings. They're putting money into it. They're putting thought into it. They're running it by several people. They're fine-tuning it. So like it or not, a lot of thought is being put into what's going on at AEW. That is always going to be have a distinct advantage over something that's thrown together at the last second that people just think you'll watch. It's WWE, you'll watch it. I think WWE is underestimating All Elite Wrestling in that regards, in that, oh, if we just throw some shit together, we will be able to counter-program them. But meanwhile, what they put together at All Elite Wrestling is a result of a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and, you know, a lot of thought. And so I think it's a risk in that way, too. Short-sighted, like I said. But the show, of course, opened with the announcers out front, Otunga and Tom Phillips. I have no opinion. Give Corey a night off. I have no problem with that. They announced that Finn was hurt and would not be able to make this particular show. I wonder how that bodes for his future SummerSlam match with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. So Nakamura comes out, says he doesn't have an opponent. He does the whole thing where you count to 10. But he holds, you know, so he says, let's ring the bell, count to 10, give me the count out victory. But meanwhile, he doesn't put the microphone down, you know. You can tell that he's expecting somebody to come in. And who comes in but Mustafa Ali? This is something that's been built up a little bit. Way too soon to have Ali be the guy. At the same time, I understand the need to have somebody good to replace somebody who just canceled, but I think you could have a one-off come in and challenge him that would have created some more excitement in the crowd, because the crowd seemed kind of dead. The match was okay. It just really triggered some thoughts in my head about all the things that have been done to make Shinsuke less of a star. If you book Shinsuke like a star, more than anybody, he would be that star. He would exceed that level of push. But he's never been built like that. And don't give me this. Someone on Twitter, more than one person, talked about his match quality. No one has ever gotten over in the history of WWE based entirely on their match quality. It almost has no effect on it. To me, it's like lyrics in a song. Like, great lyrics in a song make a good song great. Make a great song awesome. Make an awesome song legendary. But you can have a great song with lyrics that nobody knows or cares about. I think that's the same relationship that great matches have in a wrestler's career in WWE. So it triggered that thought. I think Shinsuke needs a lot more mystery to his character. The more talking he does, the more he's out there, you know, just hanging around, the less effective he is. Nobody needs a manager more than Shinsuke. Nobody needs a little bit more mystery, heel or babyface. Elias came out, and I tell you what, if the WWE booking had worked as hard on Elias's character as he's worked on his guitar playing, then he'd be in good shape. But he's kind of treading water right now. I will say that his guitar felt terribly out of tune. And also, trying to impress that particular crowd with guitar playing is a bad idea, because everybody in Nashville can play. And everybody in Nashville knows somebody who's like 20 times better than Elias. It's not like a crowd somewhere else where there's not like a big musician population. So it might have been something maybe better for him to strum that acoustic guitar and sing a song rather than try to show off his chops to an audience that probably had an average guitar playing level ability higher than that. But Owens comes out, one thing I really loved, comes out and challenges him. The match was okay. Again, they kind of burned through another matchup that we could have, you know, been built up as a feud or been built up on SmackDown, but they don't really do that. I don't know what happened to the women's match. There was supposed to be a women's match. That's gone. So the women's match, we had Kevin Owens and Elias. And instead of Finn and Shinsuke, we had Nakamura versus Ali. And then now we had the three-way match, which was Kofi, Ziggler, and Joe. I don't think they did a good job of building up the personal issues or why we wanted to see this match. There was absolutely no, very little attempt to hype this shit up. And, you know, that forces us as a crowd, as an audience, to dwell on match quality. We just want to see a good match now, which makes no sense, because the reality is, guys, we want to care who wins. For us to voluntarily suspend our disbelief, for us to voluntarily and intentionally decide, hey, we're going to buy into the narrative that's taking place here, and we're going to enjoy this as if it's a pretend fun thing, then you have to give us something to care about. You can't just go, this is a great fight scene. If you're doing that, you better be John Wick. No, like Okada and Kenta. That's like John Wick. You don't have anybody talking outside of the ring. You don't have angles going on. It's about matches. It's about telling a story in the ring. And if you're just going to do it with the fight, you better be John Wick. You better be fucking awesome. By the way, I saw that Kenta Okada match today. One of my students canceled, so I had a half an hour. I was sitting at my music school. I put it on. That was an awesome match. I have not been watching New Japan for too long, but man, those guys beat the shit out of each other. And Okada has like the best dropkick in the world. And the cool thing about the way he wrestles is you never know when it's coming. You know he's going to do it every match. And it's not like a Randy Orton dropkick, which is a good dropkick, or a Ziggler dropkick, which is a great dropkick. It's like something else entirely. And he pulls it out of the blue every time. And every time I kind of get surprised by it, which is what you want in wrestling, you know, is to be surprised. In any case, if you're not going to have a match like that, you better have a story. You better have an interest. You better have a reason to want to see these guys win. Why do I want Kofi to win? Why do I want Dolph to lose? Why do I want Samoa Joe to lose? And of course, Kofi wins. They've done a good job of staying true to that championship. He's the champ. He's going to beat people with his finisher, and he's going to win. I do like that, although I think the crowd was quiet. The crowd appeared not to be sold out, and I think that part of the reason for that is we don't have the kind of champion that people want to see be champion. It's not a knock on Kofi at all. Kofi winning a championship was fantastic. But now that it's happened, we can look around and say, okay, well, maybe anybody else in the New Day would draw a more excited crowd. Just a thought. And again, no knock on Kofi. He earned his way into that situation. But I think now we see we need a little more frenzy, a little bit more interest from the crowd. And that's it for the first ever Sunday Minute edition of Total Engagement with Matt Kuhn. Please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. And stay tuned, because we're going to be doing these shows and we might have an interview coming up next week. So get back to my roots a little bit. People used to love when I interviewed people, or when Robbie pretended he was interviewing people with me. I'm just joking. When Robbie and I used to interview people together. So I'm trying to line up a few interviews and try to hit it like one a week or something like that. But thanks for listening, guys. You guys have been crazy loyal and crazy helpful in getting word out. And I hope you continue to do so. Thank you for the great feedback on these daily shows. Again, this is Matt Kuhn on Total Engagement on the MLW Radio Network, brought to you by our partners at WrestleZone.com.